And now we are crossing live to our national correspondents, Titian and Emma, who are at the Musgrave Park in Brisbane, the Aboriginal Tent Embassy's First Nations response to the G20 summit. Emma, Titian, are you there?
Yeah, good morning.
Hey, how are you doing?
Sounding good this morning.
Yeah. How's it going over there?
It's pretty good. The sun is well and truly up.
Excellent.
It's 7 a.m. here, and everyone's getting ready for the day. We've been getting up early.
Yeah,
we're actually just watching a whole lot of large steel drums being brought in, and these are the drums. They've got painted on them radioactive waste, and these are the drums which a lot of folks would have seen at a lot of the anti-nukes, anti-uranium mining protests. And the theme for today at the Decolonisation Before Profit First Nations response to the G20 today is all about mining and fracking and nukes and First Nations response to that and resistance to the destruction of land and dispossession of land for this sort of resource exploitation.
Yeah, wow. So what's on the...
No, what were you going to say, Jamin?
I was just going to ask what's on the agenda for today.
Well, yeah, we've got the rally today, the Our Land, Our Water, Our Future, No Waste Dumps, No Uranium Mining, No Fracking rally at 9 at the in the middle of the city here in Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
Later we'll be playing an interview that we did last night with Paul Spearham and Nathan Leslie, who have been involved in organising the rally about, the impact of mining and sort of energy industries on country and resisting that. So today, I mean, everything is important on the program. But, today seems, relevant as well, especially with the G20 leaders meeting so close. They're literally 300 metres down the road from the park here. So we're quite near. And, I'm sure they'll be discussing issues around energy and climate and mining. So maybe a bit of a different agenda here, though.
Yeah, absolutely. How have the last few days been?
Yesterday there was the first rally, I suppose. So that was a bit of a test to see how things would go. It was the Stop Stealing Our Children rally. We met at the forum in the city.
Yep.
There were some really moving speeches, people telling their stories about child removal from Aboriginal families and how that practice is, I suppose, continuing as a sort of a silent second stolen generation.
Mm-hmm.
Even following the apology from Kevin Rudd. There are maybe how many people would you say were there, Titian?
I think there was a solid couple of hundred there at the rally yesterday down at the Roma Street Forum in central Brizzy. And, some really amazing, powerful speeches by aunties and uncles who've been experiencing this ongoing stolen generations, either members of the stolen generations themselves or mothers, fathers or grandmothers, grandfathers of children that have been taken away in this latest trench of the stolen generations. And something that was really driven home at the rally yesterday was that, as Uncle Ray Jackson from Sydney said, the conservative estimate is that 10,000 children were taken away in the first trench of stolen generations. Now it's wildly thought that the number's much larger than that. But if we just taking that conservative figure, if we look at current child removal rates of Aboriginal children nationally, it's at 14,000. So, the latest round of child removal is already outstripping, what we know from the first stolen generations. And, the message that we're really hearing is that although, the Aboriginal Protection Act, in Queensland, which enabled these stolen generations, although that's no longer on the books, Department of Community Services, the practice of stealing children is alive and well. And we also heard some great speakers also from New South Wales and the laws there. And it's, we can see quite clearly that, genocide through the practice of stealing children and taking them away from from culture is alive and well.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, it was a really amazing, moving rally yesterday. And, you know, if listeners were tuning into 3CR yesterday, they would have heard some really great interviews throughout the day and also in the evening.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
We went live from the rally for Robbie Thorpe and Viv Marlowe's shows, which was pretty exciting as well. So many powerful people, such really strong energy here.
Yeah.
That seems to be the main theme, actually, people coming from all over. Mm-hmm. And gathering here, and there's a real feeling this is very significant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome. That sounds incredible. Mm. So what have you got in store for us today?
Yeah, so we'll play an interview in a moment that we did last night, Corey and I, with Paul Spearham and Nathan Leslie, I suppose, about the rally that's coming up today and some of the issues around trying to resist resources industries on country, the significance of country, and the conflict between this idea that financial compensation is adequate compensation for the things which are done to country by mining companies and that sort of thing. So yeah, it's a good chat. Paul's been very involved in organising the rally today. I think speaking at the rally today, as well as some folks from Muckaty Way, who have successfully resisted uranium mine on their country. So
a nuclear waste
lots
dump,
of really
think,
positive
it?
Stories here.
Nicole in the studio as well.
Thanks, Nicole.
Great to hear what's happening up there.
Thanks, Nicole.
And no worries. And great to hear what's happening up there. So who are you speaking with this morning?
So we're playing an interview that we did last night with Paul Spearham and Nathan Leslie. We might go to that now, actually.
Yeah, cool.
Just so we're good for time. Yeah. But yeah, it's really good to speak with you all this morning.
Yeah, you too.
Great to hear what's happening up there.
And just to give a quick plug, so obviously listeners can tune in, listen to 3CR Breakfast every morning, and we'll be doing these updates every morning throughout the week at 8 a.m. Melbourne time, and then during home time we'll also be giving an afternoon update.
Yeah, and that you can follow that on the 3CR Facebook page. There's pretty regular updates about what's going on here and what sort of coverage we're doing. So
So that's Tishan and Emma live crossing from Brisbane at the Decolonisation Before Profit camp, which is a response to the G20 meeting in Brisbane. And more live crosses from 3CR a week. Good to talk with you, Tishan and Emma.
Thanks to the Tuesday Breakfast team for having us on this morning. We're coming to you from the 3CR tent in Musgrave Park. I'm here with Paul Spearham and Nathan Leslie and Corey. My name's Emma. Hi, everyone.
How are you going?
Not too bad.
How's it going?
Paul, would you like to introduce yourself and maybe tell us a bit about some of the things that are happening on this Tuesday around the actions that are happening?
My name's Paul Spearham. I'm originally from the Gamilaroi Nation of Northern New South Wales and Southern Queensland. And one of the things that is happening tomorrow is we've got a forum that's centred around, no fracking, no uranium mining, no coal seam gas. So it's all about trying to protect our sacred lands. And at 9 o'clock, we've got a march that's going to go from Roma Street Forum back to here. And then at 1 o'clock, we've got a forum. And like I said, the forum is going to be focused on how we can stop a lot of this destruction of our sacred sites and how better we can move in the future about properly protecting those sites and maintaining through government legislation that they've got to stop destroying our sites.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, the event tomorrow is called Our Land, Our Water, Our Future. No waste dumps, no uranium mining and no fracking. So, I mean, I suppose these sorts of issues are so relevant to communities and only of increasing relevance as the pressure for resources, is increasing and the profitability of these industries is going up. I mean, could you tell us about some of the campaigns that will be speaking tomorrow?
Well, we've got people that are going to be coming down. coming down, and they're going to be talking about the Muckaty stuff and what they're doing there in NT about trying to stop the Iranian mining and then moving it out of their traditional lands. And we've got people also going to be talking about the coal seam gas and also the fracking. Now, I don't know if people know the distance it is between the Queensland border and Gunnedah, which is probably 200 miles. And within that small space, there's 48 plus mines that are operating now. And then last week, or this week, sorry, on Monday, yesterday, the wind farms have just been approved. So they'll be up and running, and then next month there's going to be solar farms that are going to be up and running in our country. So that's 48 plus mines plus solar and wind farms that are going to be, you know, destroying our sacred lands.
Mm. That's certainly a really high amount of infrastructure development, affecting, very particular, groups of people. Really disproportionately. I mean, Nathan, would you like to introduce yourself and have a bit of a chat about what tomorrow means for you?
Yeah, Yama, my name's Nathan Leslie. I come from the Gamilaroi Menindaangi tribes of northwest New South Wales and southwest Queensland. For me being, a nephew of my uncle here and following in, the footsteps of our old people that are still here, but the ones that have passed also. And what it's about is about keeping in line with those processes and procedures of following in the old people, but also standing up for what you believe in, and not so much a right or wrong thing, but just what's right for this event. Our old people were fortunate enough to sort of be before a lot of the mining, so they were privileged to go out on the country and experience a lot of it. So for me, I have children too, and I'm wanting to go take my children to these same places that my uncles and my elders and my ancestral beings walked around and roamed around. So for me, by standing up tomorrow and participating in these rallies and these marches is a way of solidifying, I think, a little bit more in ways of what we should do, and also with the discussions, listening in ways of we can attack it because of the government's policy on things and their procedures. It's about sort of undoing that work and rewriting the procedures and policies and the governance so that way my children's children can reap the benefits of what we're going to do now. So if that sort of...
Do you think with the overarching need for profit, with the capitalist system and, in this invader state, do you think that there could ever be a rewrite of the rules that would take your interest into heart?
The government always talks about funding, funding, and giving funding, but in ways of spending the funding at our own expense. That's the issue there. A lot of the administrative cost needs to be cut out, but being fortunate and being privileged to work on country, to go back on country, but also work in other people's countries and doing youth work and community work, you see the gap when you're out there. So that's, for me, what it's about. It's about participating in as much as we can, because it's a numbers game, and sort of coming together in our own ways and beliefs, but also moving forward in a way that's beneficial, so.
And I also feel that, if all interested parties, and that takes in traditional owners of the land and also landowners, farmers, there's a place now in this struggle where we can come together as one and fight that one battle rather than having the landowners lock us out of that gate and say, no, you stay over that side of the fence, which is what's been happening for 200 plus years. But now, because they see the battle as hard for them, and it's been hard for us for 200 plus years, now we're coming together and saying, okay, this fight is ours. You can come on this side of the fence now, because the fight has changed. It's about economy, because, this is a billion-dollar industry that traditional people are dealing with, and that landowners are dealing with at the moment, and the fight is big. And a good example is Santos had a major spill down in my country there, and I just happened to be sitting in the Land and Environment Court in Sydney, and one of the things that was said by the prosecutor was, okay, we find you guilty, we know that there was a spill there, whether it was the previous mine owners or not, but you took over the lease. and they were fined $50,000 or $55,000. I mean, this is a multi-billion dollar company, and we were hoping they were going to be fined, you know, $5 million, $10 million, $20 million, but
yeah.
No.
Yep. I mean, looking at the cost of cleaning up spills like that, I mean, that's not, you know, I'd be interested to know how much that actually costs compared to how much that fine costs, for example.
If I was to look at it from a traditional perspective, where they spilt this land, that's destroyed now. You know, we've got traditional, or not even traditional anymore, because a lot of our sites have been destroyed to put up these fracking places and also the coal seam gas around our country there. A lot of our sacred sites are gone. So the monetary return for that alone, it doesn't even come into it for me. And for a lot of other black people that are fighting this struggle. You know, we've got animals there that are endangered. We've got our environments that are in danger of being lost forever. And then my connection, like Nephew was saying, you know, he wants to be able to take his great-grandchildren back to country. I stood on this hill looking down at this massive big hole, and I said to my son, that's where our great-great-grandfather used to go for men's ceremony. Now all it is a big coal seam gas hole, and it's a coal mine now. So that sacred connection that he once had, that I once had, that my father once had, that his father before him had, is nothing but stories now. It's gone. The physical thing of looking and touching and feeling and being a part of that ceremony ground is gone.
Yeah, so...
You know what I mean? But through our traditional stories, we can maintain that story is never lost, that side is never lost. And when you go back to what monetary terms, it doesn't come into it at all.
And then I guess in regards, I can just add on to that, in regards to the whole management and funds of ways, you know, where there's a lot of talk now in regards to other economic ways, you know, in these circles, and that word that seems to be popping up is that word sovereignty, you know, which is all started with a gold coin. So it's funny that you say that, you know, one sovereign to another.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean.
So with all this mining money around, is your community experiencing poverty?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, just because of the mining, you know, the pittance that the board of directors through the prescribed body corporates who are negotiating on behalf of all the members is ridiculous. I'm just going through negotiations now with the QSNTS, and they're a colourful bunch. I won't name them, but I'll say who they are. But what they give my old people, and I'm talking about my grandmother and her sisters and her brothers and her first cousins, who are all my aunties and uncles and grandmothers and grandfathers, what they receive, you know, they're paying electricity off on a weekly, $30 a week, because they can't afford the full amounts. You know, Moree's 45 degrees at the moment. So if you're sitting there without the aircon on, you know, my old auntie's one's got dialysis and she goes 3 days a week to dialysis, and so the cost of travelling and all the rest of it, there's no money to be made. But I will stand up and struggle for as much as I can for my old people, because there's nothing that I don't want from them. But if my old people can benefit from it to have an ease of life, of course I'm going to stand up and be counted and, you know, make the most of it. But there's no economic, you know, return in regards to the, like my uncle was saying, the sites that we're losing in regards for the exchange of that whole thing which they give us, the traditional owner, which is to trade your lands for that monetary, there's no value in that at all. It's a bad trade, in my opinion.
Yeah, and we have got, you know, native title bodies, Indigenous ones, that are accepting these deals from, you know, the mining companies, and it's deals that other traditional people or members of that land and that group might not agree with, but because they've been voted in as the peak body that negotiates on behalf of them with these mining companies and with NTS Corp and QNTS Corp, our people are left in the dark, the ones who don't want to negotiate and don't want to accept any financial benefits from destroying our sacred lands.
Do you have the legal power of veto over a mining project?
Well, see, the easiest thing to do for Indigenous people is... A good case was proven last week there in Newcastle, where the traditional people there and our great saviour, you know, Warren Mundine, the gammonest fellow in the world, was asked by the Korean government and on behalf of their mining company to negotiate with the Dagenjung Land Council, and they said, no, we don't want to negotiate at all. And that stopped it completely. That's what all Indigenous peoples need to do, say, no, we don't want to negotiate, full stop. And then the mines can't go in there.
That's right.
NTS Corp can't go in there. QNTS Corp can't speak on behalf of the government and say, yes, you have to negotiate. We don't have to. And a lot of our black people don't realise this.
Yeah, and that's right. I mean, like, and if what Unc's saying there is, in that action is, my family, you know, don't want nothing, but then these other families are struggling just as much as us. You know, now, in some claims, you only have four apicals that you can come under. Some have eight or nine. I was listening to a claim the other day that had 22 apicals on it. So the amount of exchange that has to be then dispersed through those family members. Now, I'm the eldest child of 11. So my pocket's still going to remain empty, even after the millions of dollars that have been gone down. So, but like I said, I don't want nothing for it. But me being young and my old people getting elderly, they're elderly, so they're getting tired, you know, they're old. It's where I then feel that void from. I do the legwork. I'll, like I said, I'll go to hell and back for my family in order to get their worth because, you know, that's just the way it is.
And it was proven there with the Makari case, you know, the traditional people said, we don't want it here. Take it away. Yeah. They won.
Yeah.
It's been moved away. But even though other traditional groups up there might accept it or non-Indigenous landowners might accept it, our people have got the right to veto. That's our right to say, no, we will not negotiate.
Yeah.
But that's not being told to our traditional people.
Mm.
Because if they were told this, then we would not be in a position where or a lot of our people are losing our traditional sacred sites, our women's, you know, birthing grounds, our burial grounds and all this here. We would not be in this situation in New South Wales and southern Queensland.
And it's funny that we're going through Native Title now, but we're not even having the Native Title Act. It's a subsidised act of the Native Title Northern Territory Act 78 or 76. So we don't even get the full allowances that was created from that act. So
it's a week anyway. Do you think that the same arguments that lawyers such as Michael Mantle have applied about whether or not Aboriginal people are even citizens of Australia, you know, and have to stand by the white Australian law, do you think that they could come into account when it...
Well, I guess with what my uncle, and my uncle in my ways is my guru, but not only that, he's my bubba, he's my father. So the inherited knowledge that I gained from him and what I learn, that's that in application, that word sovereignty. You know, I call it, my word's Nathan, so I have a little word for it. I call it Nathanism. So that's my ways of doing and being. So they cannot take that away from me. But I believe in what Uncle Michael Mansell says, but also Brother Mark McMurtry, that we have our own ways, and if they have the tools or the vehicle that's going to allow us to achieve that, you'd be a fool not to have a seat at your table for them in regards to sharing that knowledge and then putting in ways that we can declare our separation and our own, you know, place on this earth.
Because sovereignty to me and to Nathan and to all these other people that were mentioned then have all got different meanings. For me, sovereignty is where I come from, you know, where my story, song and dance come from. That's my connection back to Gamilaroi. I can't talk on behalf of anybody else from any other nation, and I choose not to do that. I can only speak from where I come from my clan group, from my family. I don't speak for all of Gamilaroi, and I will never do that, because there's other family members that are a part of the Gamilaroi Nation, they can stand up and speak. And that's our God-given right, or I hate that word, but that's our right as sovereign people of Gamilaroi to stand up and speak so that people can understand, you know, that the injustices we face in this country are real. It's and it has not been hidden for 200 plus years. It's still there now.
So I think we've got... sorry, Nathan.
Oh, no, and that's... Then I agree with my uncle there 100%, you know, it's because now unfortunately the non-Indigenous or the settlers that have come here are now feeling what we've been through, because now they stand to lose everything as well with coal seams, the uranium mining. And so, like my uncle said before, they can now sit on our side of the fence because now they know. And now that we're in this together, well, you know, we're all human first, apparently.
Yeah, no, and all I want to say to all our brothers and sisters down there in... Victoria and New South Wales and all around this country is we always got to keep the fire burning.
Well, look, thanks so much for taking the time to have a chat with us today. I hope, tomorrow we get the message out. I mean, just one more question maybe. I mean, speaking of having a seat at the table, and having your voices heard, and Aboriginal sovereignty. I mean, the G20 in a couple of days is taking place, maybe 300 metres over there. I mean, in one sense, I suppose we're closer to the negotiations than usual. That happens at G20, but I mean, in terms of these issues around resources, climate, energy, that have such a big impact on traditional ownership of your lands. Like, how do you feel about the Australian government's capacity to negotiate on your behalf around that?
Well, these 20 nations that are turning up here are the biggest exploiters of natural resources around the world. And not only exploiters of natural resources, but of traditional communities around the world. You know, so what's happening here in Australia is happening in other First Nations countries. And these bodies, or this body that's going to be turning up here for the G20, have got a lot of accountability. They need to be held accountable for what they're doing, and especially Australia. Because as we speak, mines are going to be open tomorrow, whether it's uranium, coal seam gas or anything. They're going to be open tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day, while we still sit on our hands and do nothing. Here we've got a voice, we've got an opinion where we can say to people that are participating in the G20 and out in this community and saying, and even through 3CR and any other radio organisation that wants to listen to our talk, we can let them know that enough's enough. You know, they don't need to talk for us anymore.
I hope tomorrow is a big success. Look, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. So I'm Emma. I'm here with Paul Spearham, Nathan Leslie and Corey. We're coming to you from the 3CR tent in Musgrave Park.
The home of the Brisbane Sacred Fire.
And that was Emma Hart with Titian and Corey, and they were speaking from Musgrave Park in Brisbane at the Decolonisation Before Profit Camp, which is a response to the G20 that will be in Brisbane at the end of this week. So they were speaking with Paul Spearham and Nathan Leslie, and the music that you heard in the background was a Christian bikie gang warming up on their stage, which is also a truck. So we'll be live crossing all week on breakfast and on the home time programs in the afternoon to Brisbane to hear more what's happening up there.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.